Okay, so welcome back to Lock It or Leave It. College hoop season is right around the corner, so there's no better way to preview the season than with special guest and FSU center Naheem McLeod. Naheem is a two-way defensive stalwart who helped us win many games last season. We'll be recapping last season's ups and downs along with a preview for the upcoming 22-23 season. But first, as always, this music. Okay, so we are back. Let me throw it to my first co-host, Cam. When you joined this call, it was Da Bears, and Ak was giving you trouble because he said you win one game, and now you guys want to start talking shit. Cam, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm riding high right now, Jay. The Bears upset as an 8.5-point underdog. The Bulls won last night against the Floyd Celtics, so you know things are finally turned around. Florida State's going to get a win this week too in football, so it looks like all my teams are going the right direction.
Yeah, the opposite can be said for Ak's team, our other co-host. The Bucks are on a little skid right now. Ak, what's your response to that?
It's very simple. Everything's running great except for one thing, and that is head coach Todd Bowles. I think we need to change the scenery at the helm. I miss having Bruce Arians around. If I have to watch us run it right at the middle of the Leonard Fournette on first down for 2 yards one more time this season, I'm going to lose it, become a full-time Fins fan.
Hey, don't look now, though, but the Bucks and the Bears have the same record right now. So just want to put that out there.
We'd probably be favored by like 7.5, 8 points on a neutral field right now. I'm not putting much credence in that, Cam.
Oh, man. Okay, so a team that's doing great in all aspects or a sports city is Philadelphia. That's where our special guest is from. Naheem, thanks for hopping on with us today to talk some FSU hoops, man. Thanks for coming on.
No problem. I'm just glad to be here, man.
So, Naheem, you went the JUCO route at a high school. You started at Chipola College, which is just up the road in the Florida Panhandle from FSU. You played great there. You shot 70% from the floor. Now, what aspects of Chipola attracted you to it? What made you want to go the JUCO route?
What a lot of people don't know is I actually came to Florida State first. I was here for 6 months, and then they were like, something went wrong with my SAT scores back in high school. So they asked me, did I want to retake it or just go to JUCO route? I was like, I'm not sitting in the room for 6 hours taking a damn test. So I'm going to just go to JUCO route and come back in a year and a half. So
I love it. I love it. So what brought you to FSU then originally, since you did come here first?
I feel like it was more of a brotherhood. I really like the players and Coach Ham, especially on my visit, he was welcoming the open arms. And like, this was the only school that offered me out of 40 other schools that didn't offer me any money. So I wasn't trying to get caught up in that scandalous thing too. So I feel like Florida State was the perfect fit for me.
Gotcha. Awesome. And you missed the final 10 games of last season due to a hand injury that happened when we were playing Clemson. What was the recovery process like and how are you feeling now? Because I know me and all the guys, everyone's looking forward to seeing you back out on the court this season.
When it first happened, I was like, man, this is some bullshit. Like, I was just starting to play good. And I was like, you know what? I'm ready for the ACC. So then the next game, little did I know, I would play a minute 45 and break my hand. So when that happened, I was like, damn, what are we going to do now? Like, I didn't know it was broke. I just shook it off and kept playing. And then Cam Fletcher hit my hand, and I was like, yeah, this just doesn't feel good. So I feel like the recovery process, it was long, but it was a summer, so I just thugged it out. And then, you know, I'm ready now, so I'm back to 100%.
I remember I saw you like not too far after that happened. I remember you showed me your hand and it was like, it looked like you had like a melon on your hand. It was so big. It was so swollen.
Yeah. They, after my surgery, they told me I had 10 screws in the plate of my hand. So it was normally they put it up here and like people arms. So my hand's so big, they had to put 10 screws in the plate in there. So I was like, man.
All right, man. So last year was a series of ups and downs for the Noles, but the bright spot for FSU had to be our upset against number 6 Duke in the Tuck. Now, to set the stage, this was Coach K's farewell season. and it was easier to find the needle in a haystack than it was to secure a ticket for that basketball game between two powerhouses in the ACC, man. So in the meetings for No Zone, which is the official student section for FSU, we made it clear leading up to the game, we don't care if it's Coach K's last game. We don't care about his farewell season. We're going to make sure that we heckled him all game, and we're not going to give him any special favors. Now, before we talk about the game itself, can you share with us how the atmosphere was before and during the game that helped the Noles pull out that upset win against Duke?
So before the game, it was our assistant coach, CY Scout, and he was like, these dudes are phony. Like, they're not as good as people make it seem. They just rank for no reason. It's just Coach K, don't get beat by the Duke 30. Coach K is, you know. So the whole thing was just, it just made us mad because people had them ranked higher than us. So we had something to prove. Now, during the game, they huddled us up and they was like, yeah, Coach K is not here. He's sick. So I was like, oh, man, I got to play against Duke without Coach K. This is what I came here for. Like, I came to beat Coach K. Like, this is not something I want. Like, whoever the assistant coach is, I don't want to beat him. I want to beat Coach K. So a minute 45, I turn around and everyone is going crazy. I'm like, what's going on? And Coach K is walking out the tunnel with this ring on his finger. And I was like, you know what? I got something for him today. So when we the whole game, it was just fun. It was like Paolo and Mark Williams, they all hyped up. So I was like, you know what? We're gonna prove them that we can beat them. So after the game, I was trying to get up out of there. You know, after I shook Coach K hand, I was trying to get up out of there. But it was just phones, cameras in my faces, like everyone's throwing the court. It was a great time. I love that. That was probably my favorite day ever, man. It was good.
Damn, I didn't know Coach K was wearing his ring out there too.
Yeah, he was stunning.
That's what I'm saying. Coach K is a little bit of a what's the word for it? He's a performer a little bit. He's a little bit of a performer. You know, he wanted to wait a little bit, walk out with the ring, have everyone look at him. It don't matter. You're in the tuck. We don't care about you, coach. I'm telling you, we're going for that win. Camp.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Neem, I don't know if you know this, but you remember where me and Jay used to stand for those basketball games, right? Like right in the front behind the hoop. It got to the point where Jay was standing right next to me and there were so many people pressing behind us that we were literally like falling over the rail at this point. And like Chuck actually came over to us and he's like, are you guys going to storm the court? And we're like, absolutely.
Dude, so the game was on ESPN, right? And yeah. I was up in the front row with them. And I remember I checked my phone after we got out of there, finally had service. And I had like 20 Snapchat videos from different people. I'm like, what the heck is this? And I look at it. And so when I jumped over the rail to storm the court, my foot got caught and I slipped and I fell a little bit. I caught myself, wasn't too bad. But I was ESPN zoomed in right on the student section when that happened. And everyone saw me wipe out. And I didn't even care. I was just so happy we won. Awesome night.
See, like during like our warm-ups, I'll look up at like the Jumbotron. And I'll see like Jay and Cam in the front row going crazy. And I'll be like, yeah, I'll be teed up for sure. It's just always fun when I see those guys in the big Jumbotron.
Oh, yeah, some of the best memories for sure. But that game took an incredible team effort to get the win. Caleb Mills scored 16 of his 18 points in the second half. JBJ had a huge block on Wendell Moore. And Raekwon, obviously, with those clutch free throws down the stretch. But you yourself finished that game with your season high in points and rebounds with 9 and 7. Can you take us through the game plan you guys had before going over the scouting report? And what specifically was your role to limit Duke's big front court of Banchero and Mark Williams?
So the scouting report was, you know, just don't let them do whatever they want. You know, it's Coach K. They only gave up 9 free throws prior to that game. Like, as a whole, like, throughout the whole game, they only let teams shoot 9 free throws. So we just had to be aggressive and, you know, get to the free throw line. Now, I feel like my job was to just come out and show that I was better than Mark Williams. Like, we both 7 feet and, you know, people like, oh, he's a first-round pick, which he is. He got picked first round, and I was like, you know what, Mark Williams is not this good. So I had to show him that, you know, there's a new sheriff in town, and it was fun. It was fun playing against him and Paolo Banchero.
Yes, I don't know if you know this, but we actually recently just had Coach Stan Jones on the podcast for a good episode, and he likes to specialize in obviously developing big man talent, but during the episode with him, we asked him who he thought was going to be poised for a big breakout season. He actually noted you, saying that in addition to your physical traits, you obviously added a tremendous amount of skill while your time here at FSU. How was camp this year, and have you added anything specifically to your game this offseason?
Camp was great. I like training camp a lot. You know, this year there will be a lot of more step outs and me shooting jump shots and me attacking the basket off the dribble, dealing with dribble handoffs. So a lot of things are going. It's not just going to be me back to the basket like I was last year. I'm more polished than I was last year, and I'm more experienced. So I feel like that'll help me a lot.
That's a perfect segue, because Coach Jones also said that the Noles plan to give our front court players a bigger responsibility and more freedom on the offensive side of the ball. And he stated that in basketball, you can't just be a field goal kicker. You can't just have one job to do and then stand on the sideline. Instead, we were going to include our bigs in shooting drills, ball handling drills, passing drills, etc. So what have you and other front court players been working on during practices that maybe wasn't as prevalent in the years prior?
Definitely, like, just reading the floor and ball handling as well. We do a lot of ball handling and get our grip strength up and, you know, just won't let guards come up and take the ball from us. So a lot of confidence growth as well. And, you know, working with Coach Jones has really been a blessing. Like, get to work with him every day. You know, he's been coaching for well over 40-something years. So it's a lot to pick out his brain and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, so we obviously lost some vets after last season with departures of AP, Malik, and Raekwon. Those guys graduated. Some of them are playing overseas right now. But FSU retooled the roster for this season, adding some notable pieces and Darren Green Jr. from UCF, Boba Miller, Chandler Jackson, to name a few. What have you seen from some of these guys during training camp? And is there anybody specifically from the new group guys that you're most excited to play with?
Definitely Boba Miller Chandler Jackson as well. I know everyone knows that Darren Green is just a shooter, but he's way more than just a shooter. Like, he really understands the game of basketball and really can, like, attack if he wants to, shoot the ball, obviously, and he's a really good defender. So Chandler Jackson, being the crazy point guard that he is, he knows different ways to find me as well. And Baba, for him being 7 feet and his IQ coming over from the Spain league.
You're good. Keep going. Sorry.
Oh. Him coming over from the Spanish league and just playing against grown men and now adapting to the American game as well. So I feel like Bobby Miller will be a great addition to our team too. So it's going to be one lucky season for us.
Yeah, so I saw a report actually recently I wanted to ask you about. Cameron posted and said that he's actually going to spend some time at the five this year. You want to touch on that at all?
We always do a little thing, like small ball five and, Like when we had Malik at the five, Malik really wasn't a five. He was a four man that played the five because, you know, he was more experienced than a lot of guys. So Cam really has that as well. You know, he's a great defender. And, you know, with him being KG defender like he is and be able to score, get the rebound and push, it'll be fun. So I feel like, you know, he can play some five as well. So it'll be fun watching him play the five as well.
Yeah, so before we go to break and do the lightning round, I want to touch on one of our guys in the NBA. Now, the Blazers had a come-from-behind victory on Monday night against the Nuggets, sparked by Anthony Simons exploding the third quarter. He had 22 in the third, go 7 for 10 from the three, and we saw John Butler on the side on the bench going crazy with the crowd and his teammates as the explosion happened in the third quarter. Can you talk to us a little bit about John? Have you been in contact with him since his departure? And how do you think he can help teams in the NBA?
I definitely talk to John. I tell him to keep his head out every day. You know, we all felt like he was supposed to get drafted and, you know, he made the right decision. But, you know, just seeing him in the NBA alone and not having to go to the G League because the Blazers doesn't have a G League team. So just seeing him fulfill his dreams, it was really a blessing. And, you know, I tell John all the time, like, man, this is what you made to do. I feel like John Butler is, you know, underutilized in the NBA. He can come in, stretch the floor like he did at Florida State by shooting the three and being more physical, attacking the basket. But he's going to be all right adapted to the NBA.
Yeah, we saw that summer league game he had for the Pelicans. He had a perfect game at 25. He's hitting threes. He's getting blocks. He's shooting free throws well, really exhibiting and showing his skills. It only takes one chance. It only takes one opportunity, and I think that when he gets it, he'll definitely make the most of it. So this has been a great interview so far. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, We're gonna go to the favorite part of my podcast. It's gonna be the lightning round. It's been a minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
So as our listeners very well know, the Tampa Bay Lightning are back in action. We narrowly missed a three-peat last season. Shout out to the Colorado Avalanche and Nathan MacKinnon for a great season. But I think we're coming back this year. We're going to win 3 out of 4. That's not too bad. 75%. We'll take it. Play the LA Kings this Tuesday night. Late game. Going to be a good one. But that being said, that means the Lightning round is back here in the podcast. So let's start it off.
So Naheem, as a big man yourself, I want to hear your input on this. If you're starting a team, who are you starting with? Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid? And why? And why? It's a tough one. Jokic? I like that answer.
I'm going to say Jokic due to the fact that he's more polished at the center position. He can pass, score, rebound, defend. He does it all at 7 feet. So Embiid, you know, a lot of people call him lazy, and, you know, he's really not a winner. Like, Jokic wins, so I'm taking Nikola Jokic.
What game on the Florida State schedule do you got circled this year?
Purdue.
Yeah, we got to get our lick back, don't we? Got to get our lick back for sure.
Purdue, best, for sure.
Best way to get around campus, curb caddy or Mike the Bike?
Mike the Bike. Mike's funny. I like Mike.
Gotta be Mike the Bike. For those that don't know, Naheem's nickname is Big Duke. Can you tell us where that came from?
Big Duke was actually a name given to me because they said I like the dog Mama Duke. So they just took Duke. And I was always taller than everybody, so Big and Duke, they just put it together. And I just took it around with it. I like that.
Who's the best rapper out of your hometown of Philadelphia?
Meek Mill or Lil Uzi Vert, one of the two.
And then to end it off, man, Naheem, I don't know if you remember this story, but this is a great way to end the podcast. You may not remember this, but when I saw you at the Enclave pool one day, you were with Quincy. And we were with a group of girls, and you said, "Jay, where the girls at?" And I responded, "Naheem, you are 7'4". You tell me." I said, "You tell me where the girls are at, dog. What you mean? You asking me? I'm 5'9 on a splendid day. What are you talking about?
Splendid
on a
day.
Splendid day. Oh, man. So I don't know if you remember that, but that will end the podcast. Thank you for coming on. Let's start your sign-offs. Cam, thank you for hopping on with us, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, Naheem. I know you got out of practice late today, so I appreciate you taking the time to do this with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me, man.
All right, and then Aaron, thank you for hopping on, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Big game for FSU this weekend, playing Georgia Tech, trying to get back on the winning path after a little bit of a skid here lately. So come see me at AMSO Saturday at noon for the game. I'll be there. I don't know if Cam will be there. Listen, it's Hollow Weekend here in Miami. We're not in Tally like usual. We're in Miami instead this year. We're grown-ups now. It's very sad, but you got to do what you got to do. Miami's still a great city, so hit me up if you're going to be down here. Let's have some fun.
All right, and then last but not least, thank you to the special guest, Naheem Big Duke McLeod. You guys have a game on Thursday against Newberry. I'll be watching that game, and it's probably going to be an avalanche, a blowout. So I'll be looking forward to seeing everybody on the team eat. Thank you once again for hopping on, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me as well.
And with that being said, we're going to get some podcasts keep rolling out. We got new guests coming. Sports is at an all-time high. MLB World Series is coming. Phillies versus the Houston Astros. The NFL is in full swing. The NBA is back. Like Axe said, NHL is back. Everything's back. Can't wait. This is a sports fans winter wonderland. With that being said, we'll catch y'all next time. Thank you again. Peace.